Are you feeling overwhelmed, demoralized, devastated, thinking that you're in an impossible situation, that there's no way out, that there's no hope? Oh, beloved, today we're going to look at that passage where he says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me?" If you know God, I can guarantee you there is a way of escape. Nothing's too difficult for God. Anything too difficult for me? That's what we're going to look at. We're going to see the setting of that verse, that he is the God of all flesh and nothing is too difficult for him. But before we get there, we've got to backtrack, because if you remember, I didn't finish Jeremiah 31. And in teaching you through a book of the Bible, I am reading every single verse to you. And you can know this, beloved, that when I read the verse, I am reading the very words of God. Yes, not in the language that they were written in, but in a translation that is as close as possible as we can get to the original words, so that when you listen, you're hearing absolute pure truth. So when we eventually come to "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh," is anything too difficult for me? What you and I are going to see is that it is God that says that, and he means it, and he watches over his word to perform. So if you're feeling crushed, if you're feeling so distressed, if you're feeling hopeless and despairing and thinking that there is no way out, that it is an impossible situation, I want you to know that you're going to find out. It may be an impossible situation, but not to a God who does the impossible. So now, let's go back to Jeremiah 31. Remember, Jeremiah 31, this chapter is like the crown jewel of the whole book. Because for the first time, the new covenant is spelled out. The new covenant that brings forgiveness of sins. The new covenant that puts his law not on tables of stone, but on tables of flesh. And where we become his God, where we become his people, and he becomes our God. So it's all spelled out here. Now, the seedbed of all this truth has been in the Word of God since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when man sinned and God promised in Genesis 3:15 that he would deliver man from his sin, and that he would crush the head of the serpent who convinced man that they could rebel against God and that God would never judge them. Now we've come to the confession or the proclamation of the new covenant. And when he says this and he gives them this promise that I will write it in their heart, verse 33, and I will be their God and they shall be my people. They will not teach again each man his neighbor saying, and each man his brother saying, know the Lord, for they will all know the Lord. There's a day coming when all Israel will be saved. There's a day coming when all Israel, the Israel that's living then, the Israel that survives the judgment of God, when they will all know the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. Now, Jeremiah is all about confronting the people with their sin and calling them to repent, calling them to return, telling them that he will heal their faithlessness. Oh, faithless sons, turn to me and I will heal your faithlessness. So it's all about that. It's all about the judgment that has to come because of sin. And he's telling them that, and now he's telling them about a new covenant that will take away their sin so that God will remember their sin no more. Then he makes a statement, and this is where I didn't get to read. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. Now he says, I'm the one that has established the sun for day. I'm the one that has established the moon and the stars for night. I'm the one that's in charge. I'm the one, he says, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. And we've had a lot of that. We've had the sea being stirred up. We've had earthquakes. We've had tsunamis and things like that. It says the Lord of hosts is his name. When he talks about the Lord of hosts, he's saying Jehovah Shaboeth. In other words, he is in command of all the host of heaven. All the armies of the earth, he is over them all. And then he says, if this fixed order departs, if the sun, the moon, all of that departs from before me, declares the Lord, then, and I would put a time phrase around that because it shows you sequence of time, which is a green circle or a green clock. It says, then, the offspring of Israel will also cease. Israel will cease to be a nation from being a nation before me forever. Another time phrase. You want to mark it. He says, if the sun stops shining for the day, if the moon and the stars stop shining for the night, if the waves of the sea cease to roar, if that stops, which is a fixed order, then I'm through with Israel. Has it stopped? Oh, no, not since Genesis 1 when God spoke and it was so. It was brought into being. So he says, thus says the Lord. He's going to show you another one too. If the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth searched out below. In other words, if you can go up to all the heavens and you can measure all the heavens and you can go down and you can drill and drill and drill and drill and drill until you come out the other side of planet Earth, then, he says, then I will cast off the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord. What is he showing you? He is showing you, although PLO, the Palestinians and others want to drive Israel into the sea, although they want to annihilate them, although they want to erase them as a nation on the face of this earth, although Ahmadinejad in 2009 and before when he came to power wants to get rid of all the Jews, considers the Jews and the church enemies of Mohammed and enemies of Islam and wants to subjugate us and that. Although all these men rise up, what he's saying is Israel will never cease from being a nation. Israel will never cease from being a people before me. So it's fruitless to try and get rid of them. And this is what we're going to see this week. Yes, God is going to judge them. Yes, they have turned their back on God. Yes, they have walked away from God. Yes, they have sinned. Yes, they have been caught up in their idolatry. Yes, they have forsaken the fountain of living waters. And yes, they have dug broken cisterns, holes in the ground that cannot hold water. Yes, they have committed these evils. Yes, they have gone over to drink the water of the Euphrates. Yes, they've gone down to drink the water of the Nile. They've looked at Babylon to help them and Assyria to help them. They've looked at Egypt to help them, and they haven't looked to God. Yes, they have done this. Yes, they have been disobedient, but he made a covenant with Israel. And that covenant is going to move them from the old covenant, the law, to the new covenant, when he will take away their sins and where he will write his law, not on tables of stone, but on tables of flesh on their hearts. When he will become their God, they will be his people. When their iniquity and their sin, they will he will remember no more. In other words, there is a future. In other words, there is a hope. And this is what God is saying to you. Maybe in the difficult situation that you're in, maybe it's of your own making. Maybe it's because you didn't seek God. Maybe it's because you didn't listen to him. Maybe it's because you just forgot him. And now you're in this difficult situation. But just remember, there is nothing too difficult for God if you will turn to him. He says in verse 38, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city will be rebuilt for the Lord." There is a day coming. I'm going to destroy Jerusalem. I am going to level it. The Babylonians are going to burn everything with fire. They're going to tear down the walls. They're going to destroy the temple. But there is a day. Because I'm not through with Israel, because I have a new covenant for them. There is a day when the city will be rebuilt from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate, to the measuring line will go forth farther straight ahead to the hill Gerab, and then it will turn to Goa, and the whole valley of dead bodies and of the ashes, with all the fields as far as the brook Kidron to the corner of the horse gate from the east shall be holy to the Lord. It's all going to belong to God. It's holy means set apart. Means sanctified. It means set apart for God's use or God's glory. It will not be plucked up or overthrown any more forever. Any more forever. Then we come to Jeremiah chapter 32. It is so awesome to note the time here. It says, "The word of the Lord which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah." 10th year, put a green circle around it, or a green clock, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. It says, "Now at that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem. And Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the guard, which was in the house of the king of Judah, because Zedekiah had shut him up, saying, 'Why do you prophesy?'" What was he prophesying? What's going to happen? Why is the 10th year so important? We'll see in just a moment.
Do you love K. Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back to the 10th year of Zedekiah. Why is this so significant? Well, if you go back to 2 Kings, you find out what's happening in the days of Zedekiah. So let's just go back to 2 Kings and let's get a little review. 2 Kings chapter 24, verse 18. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. It's not the same Jeremiah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. For through the anger of the Lord, this came about in Jerusalem and Judah until he, God, cast them out from his presence. And Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. Chapter 25, verse 1. Now in the 19th year of his reign, on the 10th day of the 10th month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and his army, against Jerusalem and camped around Jerusalem and built a siege wall against it. It says, so the city was under siege until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. On the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine was so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Now, other scriptures are going to tell us that they were so desperate that they ate their own children. We've seen it in Jeremiah, and you see it when their women are crying out to the prophet because they have not. Because they have one has promised her child, and you will eat your child today, tomorrow we'll eat my child. And she's crying out, well, prophet, prophet, she didn't give me her child. We ate my child. We didn't eat hers. That's how bad it's going to be. Now, that's how bad it is in chapter Jeremiah chapter 32. It is the 10th year. The siege has been going on for a year. In the 11th year, the siege is going to be over because the city has been taken. So watch what it says. Here is Jeremiah. He's in prison. Verse 3, because Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, why do you prophesy, saying, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, will not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but he will surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon. Don't miss next week's programs. And he will speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. And he will take Zedekiah to Babylon, and he will be there until I visit him, declares the Lord. If you fight against the Chaldeans, you will not succeed. This was Jeremiah's message to these people. And these people didn't like it, and Zedekiah didn't like it, so they took him prisoner. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me. Now listen, it's an impossible situation. Here he is in prison. It's the 11th year, and the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, is coming to you, saying, buy for yourself my field, which is at Anatoth, for you have the right of redemption to buy it. Now, the land was to stay within the family. The land was to stay within the tribe. The land was not to be sold. Like if you were a Benjamite, you couldn't sell it to somebody from the tribe of Judah or the tribe of Naphtali. You had to keep it within your family. This was what God had given them. And so here is his uncle coming to him saying, you have the right of redemption. I want you to buy the land. Now, Jeremiah knows. He's been preaching. Hey, we're going to be taken into captivity. And here is God saying, your uncle's coming to you, and he's going to tell you to buy the land. So this is what happened. It says, then I knew this was the word of the Lord, because what God prepared him for happened. He says, I bought the field which was at Anatoth from Hanamel, my uncle's son. I weighed out the silver for him, 17 shekels of silver. I signed, now catch this, I signed and I sealed the deed. I called in witnesses and weighed out the silver on the scales, 17 shekels of silver. He's got the witnesses. He signed the deeds. Then I took the deeds of purchase, both the sealed copy. So here's a deed about this land, and it is sealed. Both the sealed copy containing the terms and the conditions and the open copy. And I gave the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neri, in the sight of Hanamel, my uncle's son, in the sight of the witnesses before all the Jews who were sitting in the court of the guard. I mean, he's still a prisoner. But Hanamel has been able to come in, and so he's sitting in the court of the guard. And this is what it says. It says, then I commanded Baruch in their presence, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, this sealed deed of purchase and this open deed, and put them in an earthenware jar, that they may last a long time. Jeremiah knew by now that they were going to be in captivity for 70 years, but he also knew that they were coming back. He says, for thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land, will again be bought. Precious one, right now you're in an impossible situation. You think that nothing will ever change. You think nothing is able to be done. You're in an impossible situation. But you've got to know that there is a God of the impossible. Watch what it says. After I had given the deed of purchase to Baruch, the son of Neri, then I prayed to the Lord, saying, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Nothing is too difficult for you, who shows loving kindness to thousands, but repays iniquity of fathers into the bosom of their children after them. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name, great in counsel, mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, giving to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds. Who has set the signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even to this day, both in Israel and among mankind. And you have made a name for yourself as this day. You brought your people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and an outstretched arm with great terror. You gave them this land which you swore to their forefathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. They came in and took possession of it, but they did not obey your voice or walk in your law. You have done nothing. They have done nothing of all you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have made all this calamity come upon them. Behold, the siege ramps have reached the city to take it, and the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans who fight of it because of the sword and famine and pestilence. But you and what you have spoken has come to pass, and behold, you see it. You have said to me, O Lord God, buy for yourself the field with money. Call in witnesses, although the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? This, precious one, is what you want to remember today. God is there. Nothing is too difficult for him. So what is your precept for life? Well, reason with me for a minute. If he is God, if he's the one, as we heard in this eulogy that pours out of the mouth of Jeremiah, because in God having Jeremiah go and buy that field, it is like a seal to him. I want you to buy it. Why? Because your people are coming back to this land. And why is he able to do that? Because he's the God of all flesh. Because nothing is too difficult for him. So, precious one, what is your precept for life? Your precept for life is, no matter where you find yourself, it is not the end. It is not over. It is not there to wipe you out if you will turn to God and trust in God. He knows that he is able to rescue the godly. He is able to rescue the righteous. Nothing is too difficult for him. So you just have to believe that, and you have to turn to him. Don't despair. So often what happens is we think nothing will ever be right. I'm going to kill myself. That is in the heart and mind of every suicide victim or every person that commits suicide or attempts suicide. There's no way out except death. And what God is showing Jeremiah, yes, there is a way out. And I'm the way out because nothing is too difficult for me. He is the God of the impossible. In Jeremiah 17, remember we studied this, says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, but its leaves, and it will not fear when the heat comes, when the difficult, impossible, unseemingly inescapable situation comes, but its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. And then it says, the heart is desperately wicked. You can't go by the feelings of your heart. You have to go by the truth of the Word of God. You have to know that God is God. And he says, I'm the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? No, he doesn't say that. He says nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing is too difficult for him. Remember that. Call to him. Cry to him. Repent. Come back to him and watch how he delivers. Well, beloved, if you remember the setting of this verse, and we saw it yesterday, Jeremiah is in the court of the guard. He is under arrest, and the city is being besieged. And yet, in the midst of all that, the word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah, and God tells Jeremiah, this is what you're going to do. You're going to buy your uncle's land. And sure enough, the uncle shows up. And when the uncle shows up and they end up making the contract to the land, God has so overwhelmed Jeremiah. Because although the enemy is outside, what God is telling Jeremiah, this difficulty is going to come to pass. You are coming back to this land. People will again buy land here, and they will build houses. Do you know why? Because I'm the Lord, and there is nothing too difficult for me. Now that's what we saw yesterday. And what I want us to do is I want us to pick up in verse 26 of Jeremiah chapter 32. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, and this is going to be our key verse for all this week. And you're going to learn such awesome, awesome things, beloved, not only about Jeremiah, not only about God, but things, truths that God has laid down in the Old Testament so that you in turn who are living after the cross might know who God is and that you might know that he does not change because he is a covenant-keeping God and you and I can trust him. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And then he asks a question, is there anything too difficult for me? And this is what you need to think of in every difficulty, whether it's of your own making or somebody else's making. Every trial, you just need to stop. You need to say, God, you have said that you are the Lord, that you are the God of all flesh. You ask, is there anything too difficult for you? And the answer, of course, is no. It's no because he is God. And what you find following that is a therefore. And when you see a therefore, you want to know what the therefore is there for. Now, I hope that you are studying with us online. I hope that you have gone to preceptsforlife.com and there that you have found out about our study guides. I hope you're going deep with us. I hope you're studying along with us because I promise you that in the future, God will take these truths and he will bring them to your remembrance and you'll be able to say, he's the Lord. He's the God of all flesh. There's nothing too difficult for him. Now, when you do that, when you download with us, our purpose is to show you how to discover truth for yourself. Last night, I sat on the bed and I read a lot of comments, not all of them because there were too many, a lot of comments that came into our website. And people saying, oh, my wife and I are meeting every morning. We are studying with you. We are learning how to study. I never knew that I could know the Word of God like this. Oh, this is not hard. This is simple, but the Word of God is coming alive for me for the first time. What we do in that study guide is we teach you the way to study, the way to read your Bible, to slow down and read it and to mark it. And one of the things that we tell you to look for are terms of conclusion. When you see a therefore, you want to find out what the therefore is there for. And what I do is I put three dots over a therefore in the outline of a triangle. And so it says, therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am about to give this city into the hand of the Chaldeans, Babylonians, one and the same, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, and he will take it. Well, he's just told him to buy the land. And now he's telling him again that I want you to know what I'm going to do. This land is going to be captured by the king of Babylon. In fact, he says, the Chaldeans who are fighting against the city will enter the city, set the city on fire, and burn it with the houses where people have offered incense to Baal on their roofs and poured out drinking offerings to other gods to provoke me for anger. So what have the people done? The people have gone to their rooftops and they have stood there and they are worshiping Baal, a false god. They're pouring out the offerings to Baal in the midst of what they think is the heavens, and they forget that above the heavens is the throne of God. And so God says, you know, I can't tolerate this because he's God. Because he's righteous, because he's just, and because he is holy. He cannot do this. He says, indeed, the sons of Israel and the sons of Judah have only been doing evil in my sight from their youth. For the sons of Israel have only been provoking me to anger by the work of their hands, declares the Lord. Indeed, this city, which has been a provocation of my anger and my wrath. Now listen to this. From the day they built it. From the day they built it. He says this sin has gone on and on and on and on and on. This is not something new. This is something that's been going on for a long time. And one of the lessons that you and I can see is judgment does not always come immediately. God wants us to repent. God wants us to turn around. And so God will speak to us and speak to us and speak to us as possibly He's speaking to you today, as possibly He is saying to you. Now listen, I've been speaking to you over and over and over again. And listen, I'm about to act. I am about to act. But if He acts in your life and you are truly a child of God, it is for your redemption. He's taking you to the woodshed and He is going to chasten you. But that chastening is so that He might present you holy to the Lord. This is what Hebrews 12 tells us. So now watch what he says. Indeed, he says, this city has been a provocation of my anger, verse 32, because of all the evil that the sons of Israel and the sons of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger. They, now watch, they're kings. And he starts right at the top. The kings for us would be our political leaders. It would be our president. It says their leaders, their priests, their prophets. So he starts right at the top. He starts with the kings and then and the rulers. Then he goes to the leaders and then he goes to the priests and he gets into, so to speak, the house of God. Then he goes to those that are on television, radio, not in those days, but are prophesying and declaring themselves prophets. I think don't go around calling yourself prophet so-and-so or prophetess so-and-so. Let God do that. And I tell you, anyone that's calling themselves I'm prophetess so-and-so, I'm prophet so-and-so, I would be very wary of them. And he says, and the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, of my holy city, they have turned their back to me. They've turned their back to me and not their face, though I taught them, teaching them again and again, and they would not listen and receive instruction. Oh, beloved, listen. The therefore of the judgment and the destruction of the city is because they would not listen. Although God spoke and spoke and spoke and spoke. So if you're in a difficulty, and that difficulty is of your own making, because you would not listen, because you would not receive God's instruction, because you would not turn around and do what you should do, because you turned your back on God and you walked away. He says, listen, listen, don't do that. Don't do that. Yes, I am the Lord. I am the God of all flesh. And there is nothing too difficult for me. I judge. I wound. I heal. I kill. I make alive. I am the Lord that does all those things. This is what he says in Deuteronomy. And so then he goes on to say, but they put their detestable things in the house of the Lord, which is called by my name to defile it. He says, they took these idols. These idols, they were standing on the rooftop worshiping Baal. And they took those idols and those images and they carried them in to my house, to my temple. You say, well, the temple no longer exists. That's right. And do you know why? Because of the judgment of God. But it's going to be built again. But there is another temple that exists today. In 1 Corinthians 6, God says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? This is if you're a Christian. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. So let me ask you a question. What idols have you carried into God's temple today? What have you allowed to come into God's house? These hands, these eyes, this mouth, this body belong to God. What are you doing with your hands? What are you doing with your eyes? What are you saying with your mouth, beloved? Oh, beloved, listen to me very, very carefully. If you are a child of God, this is His temple, and you cannot defile the temple because God will have to judge you. We'll look at it when we come back along with the solution.
Do you love Kay Arthur's teaching? Would you like to get up to speed on all of Precept Ministries' news and events? Join us on Facebook by visiting precept.org/Facebook. Receive daily biblical encouragement, special messages from Kay, updates on new products, event announcements, and get connected with others seeking the truth from God's Word.
See you on Facebook.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Israel was in a difficulty of their own making. And they were in a difficulty of their own making because they had not kept God's law. Because they had worshiped other idols. In Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are laid out, the very first one is this: I am the Lord, and you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself any graven image of anything of the likeness in the heavens above, on the earth beneath, or under the earth. You shall not worship or bow down to them, because I'm the Lord and I'm a jealous God. There is only one God. Now, they also took those idols into the house of God and defiled the house of God. So fast forward to your day and to my day. Are you and I in a difficulty of our own making? Maybe you're hooked on pornography. Maybe you are in financial trouble because, now listen, not because you didn't sow a seed, but maybe you're in financial trouble because you're taking all your monies and you're spending them on you and you're not spending them on the work of the Lord, and you're just heaping up treasures that are going to be destroyed, and you're not laying up treasures in heaven. So all these things, you need to examine yourselves. What has gotten between you and God? What has kept you from the Word of God? What has kept you from worshiping God? What has kept you from walking in obedience to God? Well, he talks about the temple. You and I just saw that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and that we, everything in this temple, is to say holy to God. This is what is so important. And I would suggest that after the program that you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And you just go through that chapter very, very carefully. At the first, you're going to wonder what's going on, because he's talking about going to court. But right after that, he hits sin, and he hits it full in the face. And he says, and don't be deceived. If this is your lifestyle, you're really not born again. And then he talks about this body is his temple. Well, let's go on. In Jeremiah 32, 35, they built the high places of Baal that are in the valley of Ben-Hinnom to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech. They were worshiping this false god. And what they would do is Molech had a huge statue with a huge hole, and they would take their children, and there was fire in the inside, and they would take their children and offer them to that god Molech. Maybe you're in a difficulty, beloved, because you've had an abortion. Maybe you've offered your child or the womb, what was in your womb. Maybe you aborted it because you offered it on the altar of your lusts. Oh, beloved, what do? You come back to God because he is the God of all flesh, and there is nothing too difficult for him, and he can redeem you. So now watch what he says. He says, they offered their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire to Molech, which I had not commanded them, nor had it entered my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now remember, I said sometimes the difficulty is of somebody else's making. And in the United States of America, we suffer because of the decisions of presidents and government officials. We suffer because the church hasn't been what it should have been, because the priests and the prophets are not handling the word of God. They're not even doing anything with the word of God. They're just talking to you about being prosperous and about you being happy and about you finding the good in everybody and you waking up and having a joyous attitude. Well, listen to me very carefully. If you have sinned, you should not wake up in joy. You should wake up in tears. You should wake up in tears of repentance. You should regret it deeply. You should say, I have wounded a holy God. And then you'll see God come to your defense. And then he says, now therefore, again, a therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning this city of which you say, it is given into the hand of the king of Babylon by sword, by famine, by pestilence, God's three judgments, as we have seen. He says, behold, now watch, here's the hope. I will gather them out of all the lands into which I have driven them in my anger and in great indignation. And I will bring them back and make them dwell in safety. I will be their God. They will be my people. Do you see? He starts off and he says, I am the Lord. I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? I'm going to bring judgment. I'm going to bring judgment because you sinned against me. And he talks about the judgment. But then, because he's God, because he's merciful, because he's righteous, because he's a God of loving kindness, hesed, because his mercies are new every morning, because he is a covenant-keeping God, and we're going to see that the rest of this week, but because he is, then he says, I will restore. And that's why God has you listening. God has you listening because he wants you to understand he can restore. He's the God of all flesh. He says, I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety. He says, I will be their God and they will be my people. I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me always. Respect me, honor me, trust me is what it means, for their own good. And for the good of their children after them. He says, I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. I will put the fear of me in their hearts so they will not turn away from me. I will rejoice over them to do them good and will faithfully plant them in the land with all my heart and with all my soul. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 1, God had told Jeremiah, I've touched your mouth. You are my prophet. And you are going to go and you're going to speak to the nations and you are going to tear down and you are going to uproot. You are going to destroy, but you're also going to build and you're also going to plant. And so we see the tearing down because of sin, but we see the building and the replanting. He says, "For thus says the Lord, just as I brought this great disaster on this people, so I am going to bring all the good that I am promising them." God is faithful to his word. That's what he says in Jeremiah chapter 1. He says, "I watch over my word to fulfill it." If God promises, then God will fulfill that promise. He says, "Fields will be brought in this land of which you say, it's a desolation without man or beast. It's given into the hands of the Chaldeans." He says, "Men will buy fields for money, sign and seal deeds," just as Jeremiah did. Remember, he bought the property, he sealed the deed, he put it in a stone jar, "and will call in witnesses in the land of Benjamin." And remember, the witnesses came in even to the court of the guardhouse, and they saw the sealing and they witnessed this. And he says, "In the cities of Judah, in the environs of Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the hill country, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the Negev." Now catch this. "For I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord." He's not talking about monetarily. He's talking about all the blessings of family, the blessings of relationship, the fortune of being at peace, of having your enemies not attack you. Oh, beloved, he's the Lord. Is there anything too difficult for him? Come to that time when we look at our precept for life. What's the truth, the standard that we want to take away from today's lesson? Because I am going to continue to develop this thought. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too difficult for me? But what I want us to look at today is I want us to look at the fact that our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then, as I said in the program, I want you to go back and I want you to read it yourself so that you'll get this concept of the fact that this temple, this body, belongs to the Lord. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, what has happened is there is a wicked man in the church. He's sleeping with his father's wife, and the church hasn't done anything about it. And so God is telling them, look, you get this wickedness out of the church. This is the way that you deal with it. And see, what we see in Israel was they tolerated sin. They tolerated wickedness. And when you do, sin spreads. It's like a plague. And when people see others get away with it, they think they can too. And they forget because they're not reading the Word of God. So then you come to 1 Corinthians 6. And as I said, it opens up with them going to law, to the court against one another. And he's talking about defrauding one another. And then he says this, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" Don't you know that? He says, do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. This is what he's saying. Do not be deceived. Don't think that you can live that kind of a lifestyle and think that you're a Christian. Listen to me very carefully. If you are living that kind of a lifestyle and you think there's no hope, I'll never be free, you forget that he's the God of all flesh and there's nothing too difficult for him. Listen to what he does. Such were some of you. You were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God. God can save you. And so if that's your lifestyle, if that's your habit, what you need to do is you need to come to God and say, God, I can't stop it, but I want to. And I'm asking you to set me free from sin. And he'll say, I'll do it. Nothing's too difficult for me.
Thank you for watching today. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.